Okay, so actually you can sing all three stanzas together. Wow, so we'll split. One, two, three. Okay? The pi section, so this is three, two, one. Okay, so we'll all sing one together, and then y'all will go on to stanza two.
Two?
Yeah, and you guys go back to one. And you guys just start singing three, okay? So you guys go one, three, and then you cycle. We'll just
start together.
Start together. Let's see what happens. Then, if you get confused, just sing any parts that you want. Okay?
Yeah.
two verses? Okay, so you can write these down. Okay, Ephesians 5, 18, and 19.
Amen.
Okay, what do these verses say? The end of 18 says, but be filled in spirit.
Amen.
So remember that. But be filled in spirit. And the first phrase that follows that, it says, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. So I don't know if you guys have realized, but sometimes we like to speak, you know, declare the songs, because we're touched by something in the song, and so maybe we're led to just speak it.
Right.
But actually, that's a way to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
That's what the word says. I'm not making this up, right? So it says, be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. So maybe when you're singing, some people want to speak. That's okay.
That's right.
Maybe at the end of the song, some people want to speak the song.
Amen.
That's also okay. Right? It's a way to be filled in spirit.
That's right.
And the next phrase that I appreciated, it says, singing, or where is it? Okay. Singing and song. It doesn't say singing and psalming to the Lord, but it says singing and psalming with your hearts to the Lord. So anyways, I was just touched this morning as I was praying this verse. We got to turn our heart to the Lord while we're singing.
Yeah.
And we don't just sing, right? We don't just use our singing or sound, but every day is a new opportunity to sing and to psalm with our heart to the Lord. That means we sing with our whole being, right?
Right.
But anyways, okay, so who has another song? Let's practice this. 12, okay. Yeah. The goal is to get filled in spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorious mystery.
Gets to the chorus, right? And it's like, fill me today. And then you can just sit back down, and then maybe another group, fill me, I pray.
Amen.
And maybe another group, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Good, right? Yeah. Okay, so we can stand, and then whenever you feel like to gush up,
yeah.
To stand up and declare. Yeah. And I would encourage you to be loud, because sometimes when you're loud, it releases your spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see it again.
Spirit up. Fill my spirit up till it overflows.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 I'm so glad we're being guided. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. We're being guided into rivers of living water. Amen. Praise the Lord for this weekend. We're here as the title of the weekend says, the Spirit of Reality guiding us into all the reality. Amen. Praise the Lord for the Spirit.
Amen.
According to John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he told them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them down. But when the Spirit of Reality comes, he will guide you into all the reality.
Yes.
And that portion of the word is just before the Lord as the Son goes into death and goes through death and goes into resurrection and comes back as the Spirit of Reality. Wow. Jesus, who is God incarnated, he became flesh. And the Bible tells us that he tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, glorious of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and reality. This wonderful person had one intention, and that was to accomplish the work of redemption. That means, okay, remember this wonderful man that we saw last night? Created in God's image and according to God's likeness. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, when God says, let us make man, the word there in Hebrew is, let us make red clay. Adam means red clay. He wanted, so God said, let us make red clay in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, or the fish of the sea, and so on. And then, so actually God created man as a vessel.
Right. Yeah.
And we saw that vessel represented last night as a glove.
Yeah.
Right? And he created us in his image, which means thank you. Which means that he wanted us to be filled with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And we see that from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. God placed man in the middle of the garden,
Amen.
In front of the tree of life. But there was another tree. And God was very specific. And if I were to ask you, you know, some of you, probably a lot of you have a Christian background. If I were to ask you, what is the first commandment? What would you tell me? Anybody?
Eat.
What?
Eat.
Eat! He said, of all the trees, you may freely eat. But there was a negative commandment. Right? But of this tree, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. That's a commandment.
Right.
So we can say that the first commandment in the word has to do with eating.
Yes.
Have you ever considered that? God was concerned about man's eating. So he said, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So I want us to be impressed the depth of the fall of man. This man created beautifully, wonderfully, in God's image, according to God's likeness, having the possibility to express God and represent God. Now, the very spirit that was made as a vessel to contain, receive God, now has become deadened. So let's put black here. Where is black doesn't work. Okay. Let's put blue here. Okay, deadened.
Yeah.
Deadened. That means it lost its function to contact God.
Yeah, right.
to receive God than this soul, which is the organ of expression, became the self. So rather than expressing God, being an organ to express the wonderful attributes that God had placed into us as virtues, that now they can't be expressed because it's fully wrapped up with the self, listen, which is one with Satan.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So now, rather than expressing God, we express God's enemy. You know, when you turn your computer, you know, in the old times it would come to C prompt. I don't know if you know what that means. That means that is its mode of operation. It will come up and it will come to that. So now when you turn your computer, maybe it comes up with the operating system and then you see a window there. And that's the first thing that you see. Okay, now when you look at man, because of the fall of man, the first thing that you see, it's not God.
Yeah.
It's Satan.
Yeah.
And the body, which was wonderfully created to last for eternity because of partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, now that body dies. You know, I read an article one time. Scientists, they concluded that the human body is created to perpetuate, just to live, to be for eternity. But somehow they cannot explain why at one point it starts a process of decay and becoming old. They can't figure out. Well, we know. It's because of the fall of man. It's because another element of foreign to man, entering to man. And actually, how did it enter in? It entered in by eating. No wonder God was concerned about our eating. So the condition of this man today, the condition of fallen man, is very dismal, is very poor, is very low. Our purpose was very lofty and high, to express God and represent God. But now, because of the fall of man, we find ourselves not expressing God, but expressing his enemy. And granted, we find ourselves in this kind of war within us. We want to do the right thing because we are created according to his image. There is a desire to be righteous. There is a desire to love. There is a desire to be in the light. But somehow, my mind agrees with the law of God. But there is another law in my members that causes me to do the things that I hate to do. Have you had that experience? So then the Apostle Paul concludes, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin that dwells in me. That sin there is a personified sin. That's a person that causes you to do the things that you know you should not do. So it's, I'm miserable. I want to do the right thing. I want to honor my father. I want to treat this person correctly. I want to drive at the speed speed limit. You see, all these things are there as a demand that I cannot meet. Because it's a stronger life that rises up against my desire to do the right thing. Our condition is really terrible. And we find ourselves in this plight all the time. So we come to this morning's message, which says, eating Christ as the Spirit in the Word.
Amen.
So now, I'm so glad that after man became this, God didn't say, I'm God, no problem. Borrón y cuenta nueva. You know what that means? That means you erase and you begin anew. God didn't do that. I'm so thankful that he didn't do what I just did. You know what he did? He did not give up man. So God came in to recover the man that he had created to express him and represent him. So our God is a God of recovery. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He came. He never gave up his purpose, his original intention. But in order to take care of that terrible problem, right, of this man having a deadened spirit, the soul became the flesh, the self, and the body became the flesh. Now, God has to do something to reverse that process. Yeah. Something happened that transmuted God's creation. And it came in through eating. So you know what God did? God sent the bread out from heaven.
Right.
That we would eat of him. You know what's his name? His name is Jesus. He said, I came down from heaven. I am the true bread that came down out of heaven. Who could say that? This person, this human, this man is standing in front of people, more than 5,000 there. He said, I am the bread of life. Okay, let me ask you, college students, what do you do with bread? You eat it. We eat. We eat the bread. So, because of that condition, God himself became a man. And the Bible tells us that God, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And I want to impress you with the fact that it doesn't say that the Word became a man. It says that the Word became flesh. What did man become? Man became flesh. God, the Word, who is God, became flesh. But according to Romans chapter 8, verse 3, that flesh is only in the likeness of the flesh of sin. In order that through it, through that flesh, he might condemn sin in the flesh. Where is sin today? In the flesh. In my flesh. In your flesh. That's where sin is. But the Lord became flesh in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and he went to the cross. And on the cross, according to 1 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin on our behalf. The very one who had no sin in himself went to the cross and died a vicarious death, that means instead of each one of us. And there, the sins that you committed, that you will commit today, and that you will commit in they will commit in the future, those sins, and not only your sins, the sins of the whole world, were put on this person, Jesus, on the cross. That's to reverse that process. What happened there? And as he was dying there, he was separated from God. So he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he said, I thirst, because he was tasting the lake of fire for you and for me. And then at the end he said, it is finished. It's done. I accomplished redemption. And you know, the Bible says that when he died, it says the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. That is the veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. Because of the fall of man earlier in Genesis, there was a cherubim placed in front of the tree of life with a flaming sword that prevented man from partaking of the tree of life, so that man would not live like he was in a fallen condition for eternity. So God placed this cherubim there. So now that the Lord Jesus died and took care of the problem of sin, Now the veil, the separation between the holy place and the Holy of Holies is open. You know what does that mean? It means the way to the tree of life is open again. Yeah. And we can eat the tree of life.
Amen.
Again. God's desire in the beginning was, eat me. But the woman was beguiled, and the man just partook. And here we are in this plight. But listen, the Lord did not leave us to our own devices. He gave us two wonderful gifts. Write this down. He gave us the Spirit, and He gave us the Word. Hallelujah for the Spirit within. Hallelujah for the Word without. We have the Spirit of God mingled with our spirit. No one can take it away from us. It's one with us for eternity. And we have the Word of God outside of us. And the Word of God, the Bible, I'm so thankful we have this book, 66 book, a compilation of 66 books, written in a span of about, you can say 1600, or you can say 2100 years, depending on how you take it. Because really the first book written is the book of Job, which dates about 1500 BC. No, more. About 2000 BC. So, and the last book, the book of Revelation, was written in about 96 AD. So that's about 2100 years. This book is God's gift to man. It's God's letter to each one of us. So He didn't leave us to our own devices to, what do we do with this fallen condition? He gave us the Spirit within and the Word without. Praise the Lord. And you know what He told us? The same commandment that He gave to them of, you know, to eat of the tree of life, right? The Lord says today, because what I did on the cross, the way to the tree of life is open. So the way to live the Christian life is by eating. But we have another concept. The way to live the Christian life is, I need to do something for God. I need to do the right thing. I need to be proper in this way or in that way. And at one time, they asked the Lord Jesus, they said, what should we do that we inherit eternal life? Right? He said, just to believe. Believe into me. Their concept was to do works for Him. If you go back to Genesis, there was Abel and there was Cain. Yeah. And Abel, out of his good desire to do something for God, he brought out of the ground what he cultivated. And Abel, he brought of the fatlings of the flock, which he took care of. At that time, man did not eat meat. The only reason he was taking care of that flock was for the sacrifice that needed to be offered so that man could have fellowship with God. But Cain had another great idea. I have a better idea. You know what the better idea is? I will not take Christ, which is that lamb. I will offer of my own good effort to God. And God did not like that gift. So He told him, hey, be careful. Sin is crouching at the door. Don't let it take over you. But he couldn't. So, eating is very important. And now, our concept is to do things for God. If you consider the story of the prodigal son, you know the story is in chapter 15 of the book of Luke. There is this son who has a father who's very rich, and he asks for his inheritance, and he goes and he spends it, not in a very good way. And then he comes to his senses and he comes back and he says, when I come back to my father, right? I'm going to go to my father's house. I'm dying here. I'm starving. but in my father's house there is plenty of food, so I'm going to go to my father's, repent, and we'll tell him, just make me like one of your servants. You know, his concept was, I just want to be good. I just want to do the right thing. Yeah. And because what I did, I just lost my standing as a son. So maybe just as a servant. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Like, Lord, I really blew it this time. If you forgive me this time, then, you know, we try to do it ourselves. But, you know, the father was there waiting for the son to come. And just as he kind of began his speech, the father just embraced him and gave him a kiss in the neck. And he clothed him, right, with the best robe. And then he called for the fatted calf to be killed. And he put a ring in his fingers and put sandals in his feet. Yeah. He clothed him. He brought him back. He was happy to have his son back. Okay, but remember, I never understood that until this morning. Then there was another son. And he was really upset because the father made a feast for this son that wasted his, you know, his living in a profligate way. And then now he's upset. He's like, man, I'm slaving for you all the time. I never said no to one of your commandments. And, you know, not even a little goat to eat with my friends. He was in the house. He was in the father's house. But he was a religious person. He did everything just according to the commandment without reality. I never understood it until this morning. No reality. That could be us. Here in the meeting, here in meetings, and you know, we go here, we go there. And then no reality. We're just performing a religious duty because that's how we were brought up. But listen, we need to eat.
Yes, amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, while he was complaining, you know what the son that came back was doing? He was eating the fatted calf.
Yes.
He was enjoying Christ in his redemptive work. Yes, I messed up. I cannot change myself. But I come back and I realize, all I need is Christ. All I need is to be fed by the bread of life. And where do I find this bread? I find this bread in the Word of God. In John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, the Lord Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and he says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you find eternal life, but you're not willing to come to me. Okay, brothers and sisters, we have this book. It is the Word of God. In it is eternal life. So when we come to this book, when we open this book, we have to realize we're coming to a wonderful person. This book is the embodiment of the Spirit. Wow. That blows my mind. The Bible tells us, the Word is God's breath. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for teaching, for conviction, for instruction, right? For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped unto every good work. Brothers and sisters, the way we go on in our Christian life is determined by our relationship with the Word of God. This book is a treasure, but it's not a treasure to be left just there on my bookcase. This treasure has all kinds of dishes that are good for my fallen condition. So I need to eat this book.
Amen.
The Bible, we can read it consecutively from beginning to end. We can study it. We can memorize it. We can speak it. We can sing it. All these are ways to touch the Lord. But one thing I left off, I said, we can read it. The most important way to come to the Word of God is by prayer. Yeah. It's pray, reading the Word of God. So when we talk about eating, and this morning I want to mention, you know, eating is a matter of ingesting something into our being, and that actually is a process. It begins with the mechanical movement of our jaws to masticate and turn into pieces what we just put in there, mingled with the saliva, it's propelled down the esophagus, comes to the stomach, and then the juices start flowing, and eventually starts to transform that food into nutrients that are absorbed to the walls, into our being, and they become the very, that food becomes our tissues. And then there are things that are spelled out. So I like you to point out three things. Through prayer reading, we are nourished. By prayer reading, we are transformed. And by prayer reading, we are equipped. We are nourished to take in the element of God into our being. And that causes us to change from the inside out. And that equips us first to deal with the self. And then it equips us also to deal with Satan. Okay, so what happens when we take in food? When we take in food, that food also has a killing element. There are things in the food that kill germs in your being that you don't know they're even there. But you take the food and it kills it. It kills, you know, like sometimes I eat garlic. You know, garlic is an antibacterial. It's delicious. I love it. But the germs don't love it. They don't like it. You know? So I just happen to know that that's what happens with garlic, right? So then this food that we take in not only kills some elements, it also supplies us. The food supplies. It gives us strength. It gives us energy to carry out our daily activities and so on. But also, there is something that needs to be discharged. Okay. My burden this morning is that we would learn how to eat the Word of God. Have you ever heard about eating the Word of God? Sounds strange, doesn't it? But actually, it's not our thought. It's God's thought. And in the Bible, we have at least three examples of people that ate the Word of God. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the Apostle John. In Jeremiah 15:16, the prophet says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. Yeah. And they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." There's an issue of eating the Word of God, full of rejoicing, right? Then, Ezekiel, he took the scroll and ate it, and the same with the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 10. He ate the scroll. Okay, the Lord Jesus told us in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." He also told us, "It is the Spirit who gives life." Because before that, you know, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. So many left them. And then they came. Peter came to him and said, "Lord," he asked them, "So are you going also to leave me?" And then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter got it. So the Lord concludes and he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." When we touch the words of the Bible with our spirit, we catch the divine fire. And that food starts working in our being to kill the self, to kill the germs, to kill whatever is there. And you know what happens? There is a prompting. Who is in the Word? The Spirit. What happens when I touch the Word with my spirit? The Spirit becomes so living to me. And you know what happens? That means the Spirit is moving in us. That is called the anointing. As believers, we need to learn to follow the anointing. As we read the Word, for example, you read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the anointing spirit anoints the word beginning when you touch it. Oh, in the beginning. And the Lord touches you right away. Am I your beginning? Do you take me as your beginning? And then right away I'm convicted. Lord, I'm sorry. I begin so many things without coming to you. You're not the beginning of my day many times. You're not the beginning of my enterprise. Oh, Lord, I come back to you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the light this morning. Lord, be my beginning. You see, we turn that word into prayer. And right away, that word brings in the light of God. And the Spirit leads me to what? Right away to confess. Okay? What happens when you have a problem with your digestive system? It's called indigestion. A spiritual indigestion is not willing to cooperate with the anointing. It's not willing to follow the leading of the Spirit to remove the hindrances within our being to be nourished. Do you follow me? As you touch the Word of God, I don't know where you are. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're plagued with. But I assure you, I guarantee you, the solution is here. Eat this scroll. Eat the scroll. Eat it every day. Every day, partake of the Word of God. And then that will begin this kind of process in you. But what happens? You know, sometimes our problem is not with eating. Our problem is with our digestion and assimilation. Because we're not willing to let the Lord win. You know, the Lord, you know, you think, oh, you're so strong. You won again. You know, you overcame the Lord in this situation or in that situation. Actually, that's a curse. We need to pray for the Lord's mercy. Lord, don't let me win. Every time you lead me to do something, Lord, give me the strength to follow through so that food that I ate eventually can be absorbed into my being. And you know what happens? The more that food is actually absorbed, that fallen person, the element that needs to be discharged from that fallen person starts being discharged. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. It's all in the food. Yeah. If you eat junk food, right, you will become a very sick person. So if I look at Benjamin. Benjamin doesn't have any color right here. What do I need to do? Do I need to put some makeup on him? No, I need to feed him good food. Yeah. I'm not saying you don't get fed good food. I'm just an example. You know, we have two ways of taking care of our condition. Either outwardly, we do something by way of makeup, which means we live in the principle of Babylon, which is hypocrisy, or we live in reality by eating Jesus. Lord Jesus, God wants to bring us into all the reality. Could somebody read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21? Ephesians 4, 21. Somebody read it for me, please. Okay, you don't have it? I'll have it. Okay. If you have it, read it together. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught him in him as the reality is in Jesus. Wow. There is a verse actually says that as the reality is in Jesus. Reality is in this person. And listen, by eating this person, we become this person. Wow. Okay, it says here, okay, I'll just read part of this note. In the godly life of Jesus, there is truth and reality. Jesus lived a life in which he did everything in God, with God, and for God. God was in his living, and he was one with God. This is what is meant by the reality is in Jesus. We, the believers who are regenerated with Christ as our life and are taught in him, learn from him as the reality is in Jesus. Merely teaching of our doctrine doesn't do anything inside us. What changes us from the inside out is taking in the Word of God and let it operate in us and following the Spirit to lead us to deal with everything that prevents us from being fed, from absorbing the elements. So in our Christian life, we may be 30 years a Christian, and we eat every day. We eat every day. But what happens? We never allow the Lord to deal with certain things. So we remain the same. We eat, we eat, we eat. And you know, the more you do that, you yourself know, you will vomit and you will go back to the things that you left. Because you're not cooperating with the operation of the Spirit through the Word in your spirit. I should say I. We're all the same. We're all in the same plight. But I have good news. The Lord is for us. He's given us the Spirit within, and he's given us the Word without. He died for us as the Passover lamb, right? Which is one feast. That's the first time you ate. The first time you ate of the tree of life, the first time you ate of God is when you received him as your Savior. And the way to go on in the Christian life is by keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is a feast that lasts 7 days after the Passover feast. And it begins the day we receive the Lord as our Savior and will end the day we're raptured to be with him. That's our Christian life. Our Christian life is a life of eating unleavened bread. That means bread without sin. That means eating the reality that is in Jesus so that we could have the same living as Jesus had. Not by imitation, but by constitution. So when people see you in your classes, your family life, in your relationships, they don't see a good person. They see a God man. They see a Christ man. A man filled with Christ. Living Christ. Being Christ. Bringing in the kingdom of God to the earth. And I have to say one more thing. If you live this kind of way, by eating the Lord in this way, you will turn your campus upside down. And people will say, those people who, let me read the word. It says in Acts 17:6. If you have it, help me, please. Acts 17:6. I'll look it up. Okay, I would like you, brothers and sisters, I like us all to have this experience wherever we are, whether it's on the campus, whether it's at work. We should have this kind of effect. And this effect comes by eating. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brothers before the city officials shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." When you go to the campus, do you upset the campus? Or do you just fit in with the culture in the campus? There should be some aroma about our living of Christ wherever we go. And actually, it is upsetting to the world. It's upsetting that they see, wow, Christians. But Christians not just in a political sense, but Christians in reality. Yeah. living by what they eat. Okay, I'll stop here.
Am I on? Good. I hope you guys like eating. That was good, right? Something happened to our initial eating. We're supposed to eat something good. We ended up eating something bad. It's not good. When I eat something bad, you won't see me for a while. I'm knocked out somewhere else. I like that, right? Eating does a lot of things. I like that. It nourishes, transforms, and it equips us. Who likes to be equipped? I do. You want to go to your class, take a test, and not be equipped? No bueno. You didn't study. You didn't get into it. Right? And then this eating is something that you cannot escape. Who here went a whole day without eating? Raise your hand if you went the whole day without eating. Raise it high. At the end of the day, you're like, I am full of energy. Oh, you're like, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. You know, we have to realize eating is the way.
Amen.
Right? The hymns we sing, eating is the way. You know, and in the outline, we talk about there's different stages of eating. And our brother talked about the Passover. Okay, let me read this point. It says, the Passover lamb signifies the redeeming and strengthening Christ.
Amen.
Who wants to be strengthened? If you're tired, eat the Lord right now. You're not tired. Eat the Lord. You have energy. Say, Lord, I read the word this morning. That's my energy. Don't listen to Satan. He says that words that you ate didn't do anything. That's a lie. The words that you ate did something. If you ate breakfast this morning, it did something. Do you believe that? You don't have to believe it because it does it. That's the good thing about food. You don't have to believe it. It does it. And the Lord said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. I don't believe it, Lord. It doesn't matter. I said it. The spiritual fact is that's what it does. That's what eating does. And as our brother says, when we ate the wrong tree, sin came in. Adam be like, I don't believe sin came in. That's what happened, Adam. You ate wrong, and that's what happens. The fact is, when you ate that wrong tree, that's what happens. But we want to go back to the proper way. And the proper way is to eat the word of God again.
Amen.
Right? So, the Passover, initially, you have to realize, you know, when you think of the Passover, everybody thinks of just the lamb and, more importantly, just the blood. I know that because that's in my mind. Just the blood. But actually, they had to eat the lamb. Why did they have to eat the lamb? They had to eat the lamb because they would not make that trek out of Egypt. You need energy to get out of Egypt.
Amen.
You get the word because you got energy to go on that day. The word is something that gives me life. Right? Hallelujah for his blood.
Amen.
But more importantly, just like the prodigal son, I am hungry, Father. I come back, and the father's like, you need something to eat. He probably like, thank you for this nice garment. I needed that garment. But you know, I've been eating what pigs were eating. I want the lamb. You want what pigs are eating, or you want a lamb? You know what the pigs are eating? Out in the world. That's where he was at. He went to the world, and he was eating those things. So when we eat the Passover first, right, we need to get out of Egypt. Egypt is what's keeping us. But the Lord says, I need my people. God's people need to get out of Egypt. And how do you do this lamb? I'm going to give you some points here. It says, one, when we eat the lamb, right, we need to realize there's three ways. How do you eat the lamb? One, the proper way to eat the lamb is to eat it by roasting. The lamb had to be roasted. That means, as the Lamb of God, John 1:29, he was righteously judged by God, roasted by fire. So we realize that what? Now he is the proper one we should eat. So do not take the lamb raw. You know what happens when you take the lamb raw? That means you are imitating Christ. When you get into the Word, do you read the Word that says, I need to be like this? But it's just outward. It's outside of you. You read the Word and the Bible says, the Lord says, I need to get inside of you. He does not say, I want to be next to you. He says, I need to get inside of you. If we talk about reality this week, he says, right? It says the Spirit is the reality. But even if we say the Spirit is the reality, it's still up in the air type deal. You say, okay, show me the Spirit. You'd be like, oh, the Spirit, you know, it's something. The Lord says, I'm going to give you something solid. Amen. This is solid. Show somebody Spirit, read any verse in this book. Matter of fact, I have a bigger book. It's called the Old Testament also. That's what you can tell somebody, wow, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to be so superficial or so, you know, flaky being in the Spirit. Get into the Word and you get the Spirit. Get into the Word and you get Christ. That's how we get into the, that's what the Word is for. If I didn't have the Word, I would make stuff up about Jesus. Jesus is telling me to do this. You say, how do you know? He just tells me. I say, Jesus speaks to me because the Bible speaks to me. The Bible says my goal is for you to be transformed because the Bible says so. I don't take the Lord raw. I take it raw, I fail. I fall into another law. I want to imitate the Lord. I want to be a patient person. I want to be a stand-up citizen because, you know, that's what, quote-unquote, some religious person does. You're just faking it. You want to look good, and then you talk about, you have patience. I tell people, go to the DMV. If you didn't take Christ in as the Word, you have no patience. The reality is when you take Christ, amen, and the Lord lives out through you. You cannot get Christ unless you get into the Word. Right? So we need to do never, ever take the Lord raw. Don't take the lamb raw. Don't imitate. The Lord is not an imitation life. He's a regenerating life. Also, don't take him boiled. He died, but he died the wrong way. That means he just died as a martyr. He died as a good person. You know, no, he died for your salvation. His life is actually the only life that matters that died. Many people have died. I don't get saved by Abraham Lincoln. I don't get saved by anybody else, but when the Lord died, that's my salvation. And I need this one in me. I hope you guys are still with me. You taking the Lord, take him as your lamb, as the one that's giving you life, that's getting you out of Egypt. So now you get out of Egypt, do you come straight into the good land? Absolutely not. The children of Israel were in the wilderness. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 1 year? Okay, 2 years is enough, right? Two for testimony. 3 years. 3 years is definitely a lot. That's the triune God. That's resurrection. How about 10 years? 10 years. 40 years. And what was their only source of food? What is it? What is it? That's what manna is. What is it? Do you realize when they're in the wilderness? I mean, this blew my mind. Being in the wilderness and taking the manna was nothing of their outward activities or duties. Actually, taking the manna was about their diet. He said, I don't care about how you act. You just need to eat. And when do we need to eat this manna? Actually, you didn't have a say. God told you when to take the manna. He said, in the morning. The manna comes early in the morning. Hope you guys got this, our brothers. In the morning, we have a new start. Hallelujah for a new start. I feel today there's manna in the morning. Right? You're like, oh, 24 hours too long. No, it's good. It's only 24 hours. Because I can wake up the next morning and get some manna. Fresh as the dew. Actually, that's when it came. It came with the dew. When the dew left, there was manna. You realize you have to get early in the morning. And actually the dew is God's mercy. Lamentations 3, if I'm correct. 22 and 23. God's mercy is like dew, fresh every morning. So the freshness of the dew, right, in the New Testament is God's grace. Who needs grace? I need grace. When do I need grace? Every morning. And grace is just Christ himself. Right? You got to realize when you take in that manna, you're taking in Christ. But that's a type. These are all types of pictures. The reality is manna is Christ himself. And to get Christ himself, I need to get into the Word. Now, I want to share some things because it helped me get into the Word. When I read something of the Word, I just don't want to take it and read it day after day. Because, you know, when they took manna, they didn't just have to take manna and eat it. They had to do something with the manna. That's amazing. The manna just didn't come, they just eat it. No, they had to do things with the manna. I have it down here, if I could find it. They had to, hold on with me. They had to grind it. First, they had to gather it. They had to grind it. They had to beat it. They had to boil it. They had to make cakes with it. So when you take the Word in, don't just take it in as this. You got to work on that Word. Take that manna and work on it. Sometimes I got to beat that Word, Lord. Right? I was reading a verse. I was like, Lord, because the story, I was driving here. I had to go home. And my wife goes, oh, I left my wallet in your car. You know how far I was when I was driving? I said, Lord, there's a verse in Nehemiah, I think I was reading it, says, the Lord will prosper you. I said, Lord, you're going to prosper me today. You're going to prosper me with more of yourself. That Word that I took in the morning was my nourishment. And when I say take nourishment, that means something of God got into me. Think about this for a second. Something of God got into us. When you take the Word, you have to realize, or you have to see that God is saying, I'm trying to get into you. Don't read this Word outwardly. This Word needs to get into you. You are being transferred from one realm to another. Beam me up, Scotty. Think about this. This is a whole nother realm. If you experience the Lord as a man, you're going from one place to another. You're still in your car, but you're in another realm. You're still outside, but you're in another realm. That Word takes you. You're like, wow. Behold the Lamb of God. Lord, you're the Lamb of God. The Lamb that died for my sins. Hallelujah, Lord. The Lamb that has given me nourishment to get out of Egypt. Praise you, Lord. This Lamb is in me. Amen. This is how we should take the Word. We got to beat it. We need to grind it. We need to boil it. Amen. That means we need to take the Word very seriously. We want to get into the reality, we got to take God's Word seriously when we get into it. Every word that He speaks is holy, is sanctified. God does not waste a single word like we do. When God speaks, you think it doesn't have a lot of weight? There's a lot of weight when God speaks. Because when I read the Bible, if I was alive, I would have said many things to them that was persecuting me. I would be like, boy, you better recognize. But the Lord is very wise when He speaks. He speaks things properly. He speaks things in His spirit. He also had a spirit. You have a spirit. That Word needs to get inside your spirit. But the best time, right? The best time is always in the morning to start your day. Start your day with the proper manna. Think about your experience. When you don't touch the Lord in the morning, everything bothers you. Everything bothers you. The weather bothers you, right? The coffee bothers you. I got kids. Oh, boy, if I don't touch the Lord, it's a tough morning. But when I touch the Lord, when I get that manna, because it's there for me, I don't have to, right? And it's there. My Bible's right there every morning. My Bible's on my phone every morning. And you know what else? Sometimes you wake up, you ever get the feeling the Lord already puts a verse in your heart? That's the manna He gave you already. He puts a song in your heart right away. That's the manna He wants you to eat. But we don't want to work on it sometimes. That's normal. You know what we think about? That test. Oh, Lord, the Lord's giving you this verse. You know, but he's like, oh, but that test, Lord. He said, you can't give 5 minutes to work on that manna? You can't give 1 minute to collect that manna? That your mind is not going to give you strength. That manna is going to give you strength. Wow. And he said, 40 years I'm going to give you this manna. That means he's working on our diet. It's a practice that we need to practice, right? It's a habit. We need a good habit. If you say, yeah, I tried it. I just don't feel it. And ask them, oh, how long have you been doing it? I've been doing it for about maybe 3 days. 3 days? They've been doing this for 40 years. This is the reality. I'm speaking reality. I'm speaking practicality. I'm speaking getting you to eat the Lord. I hope you guys are encouraged to realize when I get into the Word, I got to get into the Word. I got to find a life in that Word. Every part of the Word, there's life in the Word. I got to dig that out. I got to say, Lord, this Word is meant for me today. And the verse says, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own anxiety. Don't say, I'll touch the Lord tomorrow. Don't say that. You know what happens when the next day comes? I'll touch the Lord tomorrow. Oh, Lord, it's been 3 days. I'll touch you later. We need to touch the Lord every single morning. Manna is rich every morning. Manna is a new beginning every morning. We need to realize there's a living contact with God every morning. It's hard to eat that manna every morning because maybe we're used to something else. And I don't know about you guys, but from what I hear, a lot of young college age like to eat Facebook every morning. Matter of fact, you probably get updates even when you're sleeping. And the updates is just what somebody ate that night. They take a picture of their dinner. Let me put it on Facebook. You want to show? Show somebody what you ate on Facebook. I ate the Word this morning.
Amen.
That's what your Facebook should be. Yeah. Let me give you a picture of my what I ate today. Click. There you go. What a wonderful dish. That's what it should be for. That's what I got. I got this today. I got the Word in me today. But the Word is a person. The reality is in the Word. I can't stress that enough. The reality is in the Word. The person is in the Word. We need the Word to guide us. We need the Word to nourish us. We need the Word, what? To build us up. And then for 4 years, finally, you know, you go from the manna, right? But then it says you go to the good land. The good land is full of riches. There's brooks, right? I love water. Because when I'm thirsty, I need something to drink. There's not only that, there's pomegranates, there's figs, there's all these types of materials. Now, when you actually get into the Word, you start to dig out all these little great details of Christ. You start to realize, wow, I have to do something eventually. I got to plant the seed. I got to let the Word grow in me. You ever get into a verse, and then 3 hours later, the Lord comes back and touches you with that same verse you just read? That's you working on the land. That's you gaining the Lord. The Lord said, peace I give to you. I love that verse a lot. Not as the Word gives. Because when something happens, I say, Lord, you're giving me peace. And it's fresh every day when I touch the Lord. It's fresh every day when I get into His Word. My burden is for you to get into the Word. Get into the Word to get refreshed. To get renewed, to get revived. But you need a habit. Young people, you need a habit. Don't wait until you're done with college, then I will get into the Word. Then I will touch the Lord every morning. And then when you're done with college, oh, I got a job, I got to wake up every morning. Well, let me get settled with my job first. Oh, I got to get a house, let me get this house first. Forget it. Just touch the Lord. Think about what you touch every day. I think about every day. I bet you I could ask many brothers in here about any kind of sports, and you could give me facts and figures nonstop because you eat SportsCenter every day. You eat Yahoo Sports every day. You could probably give me all the standings of the NBA team right about now. What about the Word? Are we really getting into that Word? Are we really digging out the treasures in the Word? Because our life has to be different when we get into the Word. The Word changes a man. You know, there's many things that I love what the Word does. When I first got saved, when I read the Word, I was like, if God didn't write the Bible, then whoever wrote the Bible is God himself. Yeah. It is the most fascinating thing I ever read. And let me tell you, I did not like to read before I got saved. If it didn't have any pictures in a book, I would never read anything. That's it. That's the truth. But when I read the Bible, something changed in me. How could I read a book with no pictures in it? I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. How could I get into Word and all of a sudden I stopped hanging out with my friends? Then the Lord said, these people are not the proper people to hang out with. Nobody told me to do that. The Word told me to do that. And that's honest. The Word told me where to go. The Word told me what to say. Was when I touched the Word, I touched God. And when I'm reading the Word, the Lord says, never watch that show again. I'm serious. He says, never watch that show again. That show is death. To you, that show is death. He says, you never watch that show again. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. Because when I dig in the Word, the Lord is speaking in that Word. He said, when you touch the Word, you touch me, Flan. Now I'm in you. What you watching, I'm watching. Do you realize that? What you're watching is what I'm watching. You think I'm watching that? You think I'm going there? I'm not going there. I'm not stepping into the bars. I don't go there, Flan. It's not proper for you to go there. I don't hang out with those people. I don't go to those places. I don't wear that shirt anymore. I don't listen to that music. And this is touching you. It's not me. It's the Lord in you that's touching you. Believe me. It's the Lord in you when you get into the Word. I always share this. I had thousands of dollars of CDs. Totally gone. I don't know who got rid of them. Somebody got rid of them. But did I cry over them? A little bit. But then the Lord said, he said, why would you really care even an ounce for that? That doesn't give you life. That don't give you life. Actually, when you listen to that music, it makes you more sad. That's true. I get sad. I listen, oh, this music has me. It makes you more sad to listen to that music. The Word, right, itself is God is nourishing and cherishing us. Get into it in the morning. Dig it out. Dig out that man as fresh as the dew. Right? Say, Lord, I need to touch you this morning. I need something in you and me. This is an organic relationship. You know, in John 15, it's on the vine. He says, I abide in you. But then he says, let my words abide in you. Wow. I don't want to be that abstract. That's why the Lord is saying, I cannot be that abstract. So I'm going to make it very clear. Let my words abide in you. So I hope we all here say, Lord, has your words abide in me? When they see me, do they see the Word of God? As in, am I the expression of God on my campus? And the expression of God is not you just saying, hey, let me tell you about John 1:1. The expression of God is just you expressing God. The Lord hang out with so many different people. But when they was around him, there was something different about him, right? There was something different about Jesus. He wasn't the same like them. He said, the words that we experience in life. And they says, Peter, are you going to leave like the rest? Peter goes, where am I going to go? You have words of life, Lord. So for all of us, I hope we really appreciate God's word. I'm going to stop now because we have to leave in a minute. So I don't know, brothers, what should we do? Should we stop? Amen. I hope you guys love the word. I hope you get into the word. And I hope you realize the person's in the word. Point three. Okay, three. Issuing God's expression, temple, and God's kingdom. Amen. The land. When they got into the good land, the whole goal to get in the land was to build God's temple. Yeah. The kingdom, right? So we realize, I speak about you getting to the word, but getting into the word is not just for yourself. Yeah. That's a big thing. Right. It's not for yourself. It's for God's building. God's building is composed of all the believers. He wanted all his believers to get into that, right? So we need to realize that eating is not just for ourselves. When you eat, it's actually for others. You take what you give in to give to somebody else. So that's a big thing, too. When I speak, that's always implied, but I have to speak it so you know. That's why you need my words. If I didn't tell you that, you wouldn't know. So please, your eating is for you and everybody else to go on together. Hallelujah. I wish I had more time. Okay, do you want some tests? Yeah, since we have two brothers that should give a confirming. Yeah. Just take this.
So I am freshly impressed again with the matter of eating. The plan originally was to eat. And even the first commandment was to eat. Amen. And then even after everything had fallen apart, the solution is to eat.
Amen.
This is just amazing that the Lord went through all of this, you know, became a man, limited himself, went to the cross for us to open the way for us to eat.
Amen.
And I was just considering that we're made in the image and the likeness of God, and so we have a lot of things that match God. We love. We like to be loved. We don't like to be alone. And I just had a little baby. He's 6 months old. And last week, he began to eat. And he started eating, and my wife and I were just taking pictures of him and videotaping it. And it wasn't anything special. He was just open his mouth, you know, and close it. And we were enthralled by it. And we love watching him eat. And I also have, a year ago, I bought about 12 fish. And then I realized I don't really like fish. Because they're just upkeep and stuff. And so after 6 months, 10 of them died. And there was two left. And for the next 6 months, I was just waiting for these two to die. And they would not die. And I ended up naming them Eternity and Infinity. Because they wouldn't die. And I dislike these fish so much. But every morning when I would feed them, I would just wait for them to eat. And there was just pleasure in watching them eat. And even when we go to the zoo, they don't have postings of like when the animals will nap or when the animals will lay in the sun. We want to watch them eat. And in the same way, God gets pleasure in us eating. Because when we eat, we enjoy the sun. And when we eat, everything gets taken care of. We get transformed. We get nourished. We get supplied. I just want to eat more.
Amen.
We got to eat by our spirit.
Amen.
And if you don't know what that means or you don't have an experience of doing that, that's an awesome opportunity to learn with somebody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we can eat the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, we can eat the Word.
Amen.
The Lord gave us His Word. It even says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And it says the Word was God. That Word is God. This Word is God. This Bible, this is God given to us. We need to spend time in this Word. I have these verses from the outline. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. He says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For the Passover, Christ also has been sacrificed. Everything in the entire Passover, which you realize actually the whole Passover, like Falon mentioned, is the food. We think about the blood, we think about the angel of death, all these things, all these bad things are happening. Actually, that whole time the children of Israel were eating.
Yeah.
They were eating to be energized to get out of Egypt. So then he says, so then let us keep the feast. Every morning we need to keep the feast. I need to keep the feast. If I don't spend time in the Word and I spend time with my wife, it's not good. Because then I bug her. She bugs me, this or that. Then I got to go be with the brothers. And I bug the brothers, and they bug me.
Yeah.
I need to keep the feast every morning.
Yeah.
At the end of this verse, it says, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we realize this bread that we're eating, this is the bread of sincerity. This is the bread of truth. So when we eat the Word, this Word is actually God Himself. That first word there in John 1:14 is a first becoming. And God, the word became flesh. God became a man. Yeah. But then this man, this flesh, it became a life-giving spirit. Amen. And this spirit is in the word. That's right. So when we get into the word, we get this life-giving spirit. And like Juan mentioned, we took something wrong into us. Yeah. I never realized, but actually when we took that into us, the way that it got into man was through Eve, through Satan speaking. Mm. There are a lot of things that I hear throughout the day, the music, people talking. That's my eating. What are we eating? What are we taking into us? What are we allowing to get into us? I don't know if you realize when you watch a movie, after that movie, you start to act like those things that you just watched. I don't know if that's you, that's me. I just start to act like, you know, whatever it is. That's my eating. But when I spend time in the Word of God, that's my eating. I start to act like God. Why? Because God got into me. Anyway, I don't have any more to say. We just need to eat God. And the practical way to eat God is in the Word. Amen. We have the 66 books of the Bible. I have the Bible. I have a lot of Bibles. I need to read those Bibles. I need to read my Bible because that's God given to me. Amen. Amen.
So feel free when you walk in to lunch to share with each other. What do you enjoy, right? Overflow. Overflow, that's what you're here for, overflow. Okay, a lot of announcements.